Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Love is Blind Wrap Up. I am Asia, and I'm back this week to talk about episode 6 through 9 of season 2 of Love is Blind. And of course, I'm here with my awesome co-host, Mary. Mary, how are you doing?
I'm doing so great. I'm so excited to talk about these episodes. This is my favorite part of the show based on season 1, the, okay, you guys have, you know, fallen in love in the pods. Now, can you make it in the real world? And that's where everybody's tested. So I'm really excited to talk about that.
Yes. I don't know if it's just me, but it feels like it flew by. Like, how are we already? Yes. Yeah. But we are not here alone this week. We have two awesome guests. The first guest we have is somebody who I get to talk to weekly these days. We have a great time talking about the other show that is on the Love at First Sight feed. We have the incredible Jason Reed. Jason, how are you doing?
Asia, I'm good. It's good to hear you. Mary, I want to talk to you over to the side for a second, if you don't mind. So, you know, I know that you and Asia got this.
We'll just go right over here. I'll watch out for Asia's eyes.
Yeah, yeah. This is quote unquote podcast y'all got. But I mean, if it doesn't work out with Asia, like, I have a great, you know, podcast I can set you up with. So just let me know if you guys have any problems. Okay. I mean, I feel like I was Asia's number one, and then you kind of swooped in. And you took it. I mean, but I'm just, if it doesn't work out on this quote unquote podcast or this fake ass, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say that. But if it doesn't work out, I got somebody for you.
Okay. Well, I'll keep that in mind. Thank you.
I'm so glad to have you, Jason. And then we have another guest with us today, somebody who I'm podcasting with for the first time. So I'm very excited. Mr. Silent Podcast himself. Isaiah, how are you doing?
Good. I feel like I'm almost like a fourth wheel over here with all this connections going on. I'm very excited to be here. I've podcasted with Mary once, but I haven't podcasted with Asia or Jason before, so this is exciting. Love is Blind is a messy show, so you know, I'm ready to get started, Asia.
Right. It is a mess. I mean, I feel like that's the only word you can use to describe it.
Mm-hmm.
It's wild. But we have so much to discuss. But before we hop into it, overall thoughts, what are you thinking about this season? I mean, we only have one episode left, being the finale. So Jason, what are your overall thoughts about this season, especially compared to season one?
I mean, season one, I felt like was a runaway train throughout the whole season. Whereas this season, I feel like episodes 1 through probably 6 were really good. And 7 and 8 were a little downtrodden. But then I think we're picking it back up with 9 and this ending on this pivotal moment for Nick and Danielle.
Yes.
So I'm playing it for the most part.
Nice. What about you, Isaiah?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like even though last season's group was all over the place, just like the seasons. I do feel like I had at least like, all right, Lauren and Cameron, obviously everyone loves them. Who doesn't love those two? So, you know, you had someone to root for. Where this, I felt like I'm almost like walking into like a doomsday, right? Where I'm like, ooh, like, are these people really gonna last? Like, am I wasting my time? I'm like, you know what? I'm here for the mess. I'm not really here for the success story. So, you know, we're gonna see how they last next week, but like, oof. It's looking messy. It's not looking too good so far.
Here for the mess, not for the success.
Exactly.
That's the hashtag for this season.
So I do want to know up front for both of you, whether it be going into this drop or now that you've seen the whole thing, who are you rooting for? Like, do you have one team that is the couple you really want this to work out for?
See, not really. Like, I don't think any of them have a good future. Like, there's like a lot of like, all right, half of this looks good, and the other half, I'm like, what is going on? Like, Shake and Deep, for example, I'm like, I could see something there, but like, Shake makes me worried a lot when I see some of his views. And then even like Mallory and Sal, I'm like, all right, maybe this could work out. And then I'm like, oh, there's a lot of doubts going on all over the place. So it's like a lot of doubts. I mean, look, if Jared and Ayana can get their act together, that would be cool. But like, I'm another one. I just don't know. So I don't know. How about you, Jason?
Yeah, I would say I'm team Jared and Ayana just because I guess they seem like the couple that has the best shot, because we have seen really no big hiccups for them. But it's in terms of the other five, or other, how many is it now? Other four?
Five now. Yeah.
So with the, certainly the other four, I don't have high hopes for really any of the other four.
I can't wait to get into that, because I totally disagree with you about Jared and Ayana. Uh-oh.
Y'all get a taste of the Mass podcast on this one.
Yeah, so before we dive into all of our thoughts about all of these couples, be sure to subscribe to the Love at First Sight feed. That's where you can get all your Love is Blind content and Married at First Sight. So please subscribe and then leave a rating and review. Leave us a 5-star rating. Tell us what you like about the show. Tell us what you like about us podcasting about it. So then there could be potential for more content in the future. So please go to robhasawebsite.com/firstsightfeed and subscribe, rate, and review. All right. So I say we start with a couple who I'm so glad.
I feel like couple, I have to put in big quotes. Big
quotes. I'm so glad we only saw them on episode 5, because honestly, that's all I can handle. But that's none other than Shayna and Kyle.
Mess. What? Mess. Yes.
Did either one of y'all, like with Shayna, are there any positive traits?
I mean, like, what was going on here? Like, I don't know. They knew from the moment. All right. I don't know about Kyle, but Shayna knew from the moment that she got proposed to that she should have said no. I don't know why she really said yes. I mean, maybe she wanted that screen time check. But I'm just like, this was doomed from the start. I don't know if anyone else felt that way.
I'm a little mad that, because at the end of like episode 6, I was like, oh, here we come. Shayna going to be like big interfering into Shayna and Natalie's relationship. But then we didn't see her again. I want my big villain. And I feel like we got rid of her and she's never seen it again. Like, I feel like at the end of her arc, she was like, yeah, I'm going to go with my gut. I'm going to do what I feel is right. So I feel like she was going to try and go for Shayna, but we got nothing else from her.
I feel like.
Okay.
Yeah. I feel like, Shayna, she, in any positive thoughts I had on her in the first several episodes, I completely lost by the end of episode 6. And it didn't go where I thought it was going to. And I hate to say this, but I feel like we probably didn't see something that had to do with Shane kind of like calling her out for the way he's going to talk to her at the end of the episode, because knowing how much Shane likes positive affirmation and hyping up his relationship, I don't think he took well to Shayna's critique.
It kind of felt like Shayna may have tried to like interfere, but then Shane kind of put the kibosh on. He's like, no, I'm not even going to talk to you. Like, we're just done. And so her time on the show was just done, because he wouldn't go for it.
Honestly, I was surprised. Shane caught me off guard. I am not going to lie. That was not what I expected him to do by any means. I thought Shane was going to see Shayna and she was going to be his type and he's going to be overjoyed and be conflicted. He said, Natalie is my woman and I am going to stick beside her. And I'm not going to allow this vitriol that's coming out of your mouth.
And, you know, And just also to bring Kyle into the fray a little bit as well, I feel like, first of all, I mean, I guess there's almost like a little bit of blind optimism here, hoping that this was going to work out. I mean, he was very transparent with how he felt, but it's like, bro, come on.
If I'm Kyle, I would have walked out of that meeting with Shayna's parents, like, oh yeah, no, this was going to work at all. Like, like, he's just like, oh, ready to move in? It's like,
oh. Right. Let's talk about that. What was this? Why would she even take him to meet her parents? Like, I was so confused, because it's like, you already said your heart is with Shane. What was the reason? Why did you feel that you needed this backup? Like, oh yeah, you're right. You should be done.
My hunch is either it was just producers telling her she needed to do it, or maybe she was hoping that if her parents were like, no, you're not right, and that they could kind of do her dirty work for her.
Yeah, she kind of used it as a cop out a little bit. Yeah. When she was talking to Shane, she was like, oh yeah, when my dad kept saying, why are you bringing up Shane all the time? And my mom, I saw her mom's face, and I was like, nope, this is over. I felt like she was kind of using that as like a cop out a little bit.
Like if you look at season one, Shayna reminds me of a lot of Jessica, right?
Yeah,
and yeah. If you remember the whole family and friend visit, Jessica was hoping like her friends was like, oh, don't go with this guy so she can have like an out. But her friend said, yeah, you should go with it. And she was like, well, okay. Like this time I think Shayna got exactly what she wanted, where her family was like, this ain't going to work. And she was like, oh, my parents don't like you. And, you know, maybe you got to go. So, I think she just was looking for a way out, like you guys are saying, and she just didn't want to have to say it herself.
Yeah, I feel like we got so gypped about seeing Kyle. Like, I feel like we didn't get to see who Kyle really was, because something that stood out to me was him saying like, oh yeah, moms love me. If anything, they're like, is this guy a murderer? <I'm> like, what? I just feel like he's quirky and we couldn't see anything because he's just like trying to fight for this relationship.
He is the classic case of like, oh, bless his heart. Like he is not picking up
he's just got
on
this,
what
like,
the world is telling him.
He's got this dumb smile plastered on his face all the time. And it's like, are you okay? Like, do you see what's going on around you? Like, she does not want you. You're just all, even after they broke up, he was like, had this smile on his face. Like, okay, are you okay?
Mm-mm. It's a defense mechanism, maybe protect his heart.
You know, they try though, because I love the way they edit it where he's like, I think that we should move in together before we get married. And she's like, bro, we're not, I can't marry you. This isn't happening. Like, nice try. Like, I thought we were on the same page.
Yes. It's like, can somebody catch Kyle up? Like, everyone else understands. I feel like walking out of that house, Shayna's family knew very well that was the last time they were ever seeing that man. They were like, that crashed and burned. I mean, at every point, like them saying godly, he's like, what's that? And then just bringing up the religion conversation and her mom saying, well, I don't really have to worry about, you know, where they go when they die. That's why I believe, yeah,
it was definitely giving off cult. Like to me, like in that house, like, and then like we just want to make sure that you're American, you're yes. godly. I'm like, ooh, like where were you on January 6th of last year?
I thought it was so interesting that he wasn't even like pretending to be like, yeah, I plan to change and convert. Instead, yeah. He was just like, yep. I mean, when we die, our bodies are going to be in the ground.
Yes. It's so interesting because it sparks the conversation of just like, you know, people who have faith of any kind, they typically are, or for the most part, are typically looking for someone of a similar faith or a faith in general. And then if it's someone who doesn't believe at all, it's like, that's not really that important to me. So why does it matter? And so I feel like unless you have had an initial conversation and can get on the same page that either it matters to you both or it doesn't matter to you both, then you move forward. They had no business walking out of the pods hand in hand. I mean, they barely did that. It's just like, it's such an important topic in a relationship to certain people. And if it matters to you, then, and if it doesn't matter to the other person, you can keep it moving.
Well, Kyle kind of said as much. Well, you know, when they were breaking up, he's like, you know, if I didn't realize this would be so big for you because you didn't tell me that it was going to be this big for you. Like, I felt like I was lied to. I felt like you weren't being truthful.
I'm like, hello? Like, all right. So, I mean, first of all, how many signs do you need to take? She didn't want to stay at the resort with you. She didn't want to live with you. You guys didn't even meet up. I'm actually a little curious how much contact they actually had off cameras, because like he really genuinely felt blindsided. But I'm like, really? Like right. I don't think that she really wanted to be with you. It felt a little strange in my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, because it's like, okay, I do understand that this was an issue for her, but if she got with Shane and Shane said, no, I don't really go to church. You know, I grew up a certain way, but I don't really believe right now. And she's like, okay, we can figure that out. Yep. I think definitely would have been a different conversation.
Yeah.
But the fact that she already didn't like him, she could lean on this as an excuse. Mm-hmm. That was a done deal.
Yeah, it was definitely a Jessica using the 10-year age gap excuse yes. as the mm-hmm. whole thing. I mean, I do think that like if you're extremely religious, that is probably a big enough deal breaker. I do think that's the case if the other person especially is atheist. Mm-hmm. But But also, like, he's right when he says, then you shouldn't have agreed to it in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
It's true. Yeah.
Yeah, he finally expressed that anger that I thought he should have had when she left Mexico, but that didn't spark anything. And so I was like, oh, okay, Kyle can defend himself and be, because he was pissed.
Yep. Yeah, so. I think he pissed himself off, if I'm going to be honest. Yeah. Like, I don't know.
But yeah. So ultimately, go ahead, Mary.
Yeah, I was going to say, ultimately, they break up. We never see Kyle again.
Right. Never again.
Goodbye. Poor guy. Poor Kyle. Never met his family. Oh, well. And then we have like a party that's going to happen, I don't know, to the city. And where they're all in Chicago this time, it looks like. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I know in the first season, everybody was in Atlanta. Yeah. So they're all in Chicago. And there's this party where Shayna's finally going to talk to Shane. And she talks with Nick first, and Nick's really just an instigator here.
Yes. Like,
yeah, he did the whole thing
of the season for sure.
Right. Yeah. He tried to get Jarrett and Mallory to talk, and now he's doing this. And I really don't think anyone is giving Natalie enough credit here. They're all like, oh, why is she making eyes? Why is she upset with this? Like she might be upset and comfortable with the fact that Shayna is trying to get her man. Like, exactly. You know, I was kind of on Natalie's side here. Like, That's rough. But yeah, so Isaiah, do you want to explain what it sounds like the whole phone call situation was? Because that's really what started everything.
Yeah, it seemed that Shayna was going to contact Natalie and they were doing quote unquote small talk. I honestly feel like this is like a call that the producers probably set up, because I mean, they didn't really have like a crazy like friendship or anything. I think this whole situation's like production. But they were on the phone or whatever, and basically Shayna alluded to something about like, oh, if you and Shane don't work out, like I have a friend I can set you up with, ha ha ha. And I, you know, I don't think Natalie liked that. So I mean, I wouldn't like that. I'm like, what? So okay. Yeah, you know, Shayna, you know what, Shayna should be on like Big Brother Survivor or something. Like, I don't think this is the type of show for her.
What, do you think she's like a strategic queen?
Not strategic, but I think she's a manipulator. Like, okay, she's trying to plant seeds. She's already been telling Shane in the pods that, oh, Natalie gossips about you, and so she's trying to set something up. So I did not like that, and I think it showed her true colors.
And I was actually kind of surprised in the sit down with Shane and Shayna that Natalie had told, I guess I didn't really realize that Natalie would have gone straight to Shane to tell him about this, because she's like, obviously I'm caught off guard. And so I was like, I did not think that's where the conversation was going when they were talking to each other.
See, this is something that I was confused about, because Shayna argues 2 points. Point one, I can't believe Natalie told you about my phone call. And point two, wait, you and Natalie don't communicate enough to even know what my phone call was about. Sure. She argues both. And I think it's like, look, I know they've only known each other for a short time. They're living together. They're technically engaged. I think it's completely right that Natalie would tell Shane about this phone call. Like, hey, this girl is trying to, you know, get between us. And Shayna does the classic dating show mistake of, instead of trying to hype herself up and tell Shane why she's so great, she decides to just spend the rest of the time talking about how bad Natalie is. And not even like, here's negative things about Natalie, here's negative things about your relationship. And so putting like some onus on him of being like, you made these decisions that are bad, so be with me.
Yeah, she went into this thinking, oh, we're about to just flirt back and forth. And then when it didn't go where she wanted, oh, she flipped the script. She became just like, wouldn't let him talk. She was the worst kind of person in an argument that just doesn't listen to what you say. They may grab something you say and try to flip it, like anything he said. She was just turning it back on him. And I was just like, how is Shane not so frustrated right now? I would be livid, because she's turning it around that she's mad at him for even thinking that his relationship is valid in any way. I didn't know what to think. And I was really impressed with Shane, because I did not expect him to have this approach. I thought he was just going to give in and not mention anything about, you know, how he does respect him and Natalie's relationship. But what'd you take away from it, Jason?
I thought it was interesting how Shane was like kind of egging her on. I'm like, no, go ahead and say it. You want to say something, go ahead and say it. Mm-hmm. And that made her like come all the way out and really show her butt throughout this whole conversation. And, you know, Shayna in the beginning, before she went over to Shane, was like, And Nick too, because Nick asked Shane and Natalie, like, so what do you guys talk about? And then he's like, well, I don't really want to talk about it. And then Shayna comes over. He's like, I want to know what they talk about. Like, why? Why is it any of your right. business? Why is that any, like, any concern of yours? And then she just kind of goes over there with what she thinks is like this opinion of Shane and Natalie's relationship, and just kind of blurs it all out to Shane. And Shane's like, I don't know what you're doing. Like, why would you even call my fiance to say this stupid stuff like that? That at that moment, he wasn't even going to entertain her anymore.
Yeah. I just remember from that, Shane, he's like, well, say it. I was like, say it. It was at that moment I realized I didn't have my closed caption on. So I was like, I have no idea what this man just said.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought this whole event was just wild in general. I'm like, oh, okay, they're meeting up with the people who didn't get in relationship. So, yeah,
that Jarrett set up, quote
yeah.
unquote.
Like, y'all brought, these are a bunch of people, like, they didn't even get the good background people who had, like, lines. Like, I was like, I don't recognize any of these people. The only person you brought, wanted to bring back was Shayna, and you had a very big portion, you had a reason. But, and then, I mean, I just want to talk about Nick. Like, Nick is very annoyed to me. I'm going to save him for his mm-hmm. section, but he is such an instigator, because what, you have enough problems in your relationship. Why are you gossiping with someone that you know is into Shane trying to start drama? Like, I did not like that. This is just a very shady event all around. Yeah.
Yeah, it was very producer heavy. It was very yeah. Barnett's birthday from season yeah. one with yeah. all of that. I'm glad that we like wrapped it up quickly, because it really seems like Shane's just kind of like, nope, you know, like mm-hmm. I want you to come out and say it so that we can wrap this up and be done with it. But like I was giving him claps when she said like, oh, I'm gonna pull Natalie over here so that we can call her out. And he's like, you know, I really wouldn't like you to call yeah. her out, actually.
I want to call her out. Like, who, how old are you? Are you like, well, yeah, like, yeah. I want to call
what
her
show
out.
Do you think you're on?
I'm gonna call a house meeting right now.
Right now, house meeting.
Switch yeah, shows. Yeah. Big Brother. They're looking for people.
True. It was just ridiculous. I mean, the fact that she said their relationship, if he thinks that they are compatible, that it's comical. I was just like, okay. I mean, what's your goal here? Because
the worst part is, if it doesn't work out with Shane and Natalie, you know that Shayna's gonna be the person on the reunion show who's like, see, I told you, I knew it all along. Mm-hmm.
I said time reveals all truths.
Yeah, exactly.
There we go.
I'm just glad we closed the door on this relationship. I'm glad we closed the door on Shayna, at least for now. You not. Wanted her to keep.
I want more. I want to, like, when Shane and Natalie meet, like, Shane's mother, I want Shane just come out of the woodwork, like, hey, I'm here too, guys. Like, I need a little more drama. Like, that's what I needed. But
I just want Natalie to be happy so bad. That if yeah. Shayna being out of the picture will do it, I will sacrifice that little piece of entertainment. so anything else on Shayna and Kyle?
Bye.
Congratulations, Kyle. Shayna got you out of a relationship, out of a situation that you should have been out of, but yourself.
Yeah. Kyle, you deserve more. I hope you find what you're looking for. It's not Shayna. Please
no.
move on.
Nice try.
Yeah.
Yeah. But let's continue on with the other half of this love triangle and talk about Shane and Natalie. I really hate to say that by the end of this set of episodes, like, Shane was growing on me. Not as a person. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want to. I would not want to date Shane. I get that. Yeah. But like, I kind of understood where he was coming from in some instances, because it seems like his method is like, joke about something and then open up and explain why the thing he was joking about was so important to him.
Yes.
Like, we see that in the conversation about the like fountain of old fashions, which is definitely not a thing that exists, but okay. Because he's like, says this really goofy thing, and then he's like, yeah, but well, you know, it was like really important to my dad and he's not here, and so I want to like feel like my dad's included in our wedding. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, if you had opened with that, then this right. would have made way more sense. But
yeah. I was yeah. looking for an explanation like that about the tux cape.
Yeah, I'm sure there was just one.
Cool Asia. That's all it is.
I still don't really know what he's talking about. Like, I looked it up. I can't find exactly what he's saying.
Like, does he just mean a costume? From a tux? Because she said, like, this isn't
tuxedo cape. I think it's literally a cape that, like, Batman wears. Like, I'd be down with that.
You know, okay, I'm looking at pictures. I think it's not as bad as we're all thinking, but it doesn't scream wedding to me. It screams, like, interesting costume party.
Right? Oh, boy. Or Bridgerton, like she
said. Or like Count Dracula or something. It's very like Dracula.
Right. So yeah, they're all settled in, and I mean, they came out of Mexico thinking things went really well. And so then when I thought it was interesting that, you know, we learned a little bit more about them at her apartment. So Isaiah, what did you think about how, you know, she loved her apartment but made the comment to him that, like, oh, he'd be too big for this. We need to buy a place. What'd you think about that justification?
I mean, she's a small person. He's a big guy. So, I mean, I mean, that's fair. The thing with Shane, he thinks a little too much into his mind about things. So I didn't really expect this to really go anywhere, but like this couple has proven time and time again that like small things can turn to semi big problems almost. I don't know, but I think regardless, their connection seems probably like the most solid enough to the point where like they would kind of like get over whatever hurdle this was.
I kind of came at this interaction kind of, I don't know. I feel similar to you, Mary, where I was a little bit higher on them by the end of this batch of episodes. However, I do feel like, especially with how they were interacting, he's asking like, what's your shower song? And it's just like random stuff, right? I feel like he's mirroring her. And I feel like he may do that in any relationship, but I feel like Shane is the kind of guy that he's going to present a positive self no matter what. You know, he may not be happy with the person or whatever, but he's just an overall positive guy. So I started to really question, like, what is it about Natalie specifically that Shane loves?
Yeah, I feel like it was more, their relationship is more tell than show. Like, they're telling us, like, oh, yeah, we're perfect for each other. And I'm still wondering, like, but why? Like, you haven't really explained that to me very well.
I'm assuming there's a lot we don't see. And I think what I had to kind of figure out by the end of it was, I think there's a lot of moments that on TV seem like, oh, these are cringy. They're like when they were talking about the shower songs, like they seem to have really weird facial reactions to each other. And then by the end of the batch, I was thinking, maybe they're just both kind of goofy, awkward people. And that's just like how they react. And I completely see what you're saying, though, of like, I'm not sure why the two of them and why, like, what is it about each other that they have not been able to find in someone else? I don't know. But yeah, by the end of her conversation about finances, it's really interesting because she comes away with this impression that, like, yeah, you know what? It may just be like my family. I may be like my mom. I may be the financial stability, and he's going to be the risk taker, and I'm okay with that. And, you know, like, she seems to really have this like very put together life, but like crave someone to come in and like bulldoze through it. I don't know why.
I like that Shane doesn't believe in 401ks as if they are.
as if it's a belief.
he's like, I'm sorry, we can't just have a normal life and buying a house and having 401ks. Why not? Why can't you? Like,
I was like, how is that a normal life? Like, is that the norm? I feel like, yes, that's a good path, right? But it's just like for him to say, like, ah, that's just like what everyone does, so we'll do something different. Is it?
He's a free thinker, Asia. Right?
Okay. A free thinker who spends $2,000 on food every month.
He must be going out to eat or something like every day. Like,
every month. Every meal. It has to be like that's a lunch and dinner. Like
every meal.
Yeah. Lunch and dinner. Maybe even breakfast.
He's not making any stir fry. That's for sure.
Right.
To add on to that, though, Mary, I do think that when you said, I wonder why they can't find people like each other in real life. I mean, Natalie gives off the vibe that she's more like introverted to herself, doesn't really like approach people too much. I don't know. That's speculation. And then based off of Shane, I mean, going by the pods, he seems like he goes after the Shayna type a little too much. So that's also could be a bad judgment with who he picks just based off of like things like that. So I don't know.
True.
It seems like a lot of the theme of this season is people getting together who recognize that the type of people they normally date isn't working out. And so they're seeking out something different. We see that with Natalie and Shane. We see that with Deep D and Shake. And we see that with Ayana and Jarrett, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. And it's like, but it's what they don't understand is that even it's not just 1 + 1 = 2. It's not, oh, this is different from what I usually go for, so this is going to work. There's so many different types of people out there.
See, I think a lot of these people came in here trying to be Lauren and Cameron.
Yes.
And they're trying to emulate that. It's like, no, you need to follow your own journey. Stop trying to be like, stop trying to be someone else. Be yourself. That's all.
that's a lesson. Everybody, listen, Isaiah, be yourself.
Exactly.
I was glad that they kind of, they after the Shayna and Shane conversation, he was completely honest about her thinking that the relationship was a fraud. And so I thought that that was a very good sign. I was like, that's when I was like, okay, Shane's not too bad.
He was like, I don't think we're a fraud. Do you think we're a fraud? Like, no, I don't think we're a fraud.
Yeah, I think we're a fraud.
Yeah, and then Shayna calls up and is like, I can't believe you told your fiance the conversation.
No. You don't get out of here.
Yeah, I like them. They're both like, I think we're okay. So, I mean, what does she know?
Right.
And yeah. So then we kind of already talked about it, but they're talking about the wedding. And my main question here is, it seems like this season, based on the previews, the weddings are a little bit more customized.
Yeah.
But like, do they really get to pick like the food at the wedding and stuff? Like, I always kind of got the feeling that these were like sort of fake weddings, like real, but then like that they would probably do another one. I mean, the ones from season one were all just in like a big building. These at least are outside and stuff. But yeah, like is there a reception? Like, is he allowed to have like a kid's buffet of like cheese nibs or whatever it was he wanted?
Right. Like, okay, Jason, as the resident married person on this panel, could you imagine planning a wedding in 3 weeks?
No, not at all. It took us about 3 months to plan ours. And, I feel like the show provides you the ceremony. Like, the show's like, okay, we'll split it with you. We'll do the ceremony. You guys do your own reception or whatever. We're not going to tape that. We're only going to do the wedding.
Yeah, they're like, that's not important. Because it's like, okay, the differences they have, the cheese curds versus her whole family's lactose intolerant. Mm-hmm. And then the fact that, you know, his family is from Wisconsin. And so all they do is drink. She's like, oh, my family doesn't really drink. He's like, oh, well, this is going to be fun.
Yeah, they're good for you.
Yeah. So it's like they could make it work. I like that they're not count. Like, imagine if this had been like Danielle. Oh, she would have had an argument about all of these differences.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it seems okay by the end of it. Like, they kind of laugh each other's things off. I don't know. I definitely think a lot of this is editing. Like, there's probably some part where they come together and decide something. We just don't see that part. So.
Right. Well, they leave us at these conversations. They cut off what we see of the conversation like every time.
Yes.
We just have to go about believing they've solved their own issues by the time they come back on screen.
Yeah. Right. So they're going to go meet her parents. And this was really big in the previews of the show. And I thought, like, by the time I watched the preview the second time, I was like, oh, I think her mom is not, like, angry, more like, when I was 19 and I got a tattoo, I knew my mom was not going to like it. And so I came home and I was like, do you want to see my tattoo? And she was like, no, I don't want to see it. It was very similar vibes to the mom slapping away her hand. Yeah,
the big slap of the hand was like, it felt like by the time we got to it, it was more like joking around, like, no, I don't want to see that thing. But can you imagine, like, we got this with Jarrett too. Like, can you just imagine as a parent, like, I'm a parent. So I imagine walking into this situation, like, wait, like, first of all, whose apartment are we in?
Yeah,
I love, like, that. Where is this?
What do you mean you got engaged? Why haven't I talked to you in 3 weeks? Like, where have you been?
They're like, where am I? What is that camera? Who is this producer here?
Why was I backed up before I came into this room?
Right? Yeah. Anytime the parents are like, no, I completely understand it. I'm like, what? Yeah, and you didn't even tell them before you went there. They could have probably thought they were getting set up. Like, whose house am I in right now?
Wow, punk.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yes. It's like Jarrett's parents were like the anomaly, but this was a very realistic reaction. And I just loved her mom. She's just very expressive. And I feel like the moms, were such highlights in this batch of episodes. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have her mom. We have Shake's mom.
Danielle's mom.
Danielle's mom, Wendy, the icon, Wendy. Like, they were the stars of the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is the point in my notes when Shane shows up where I wrote, oh no, why is Shane growing on me? He's doing so well with the parents.
He was
like really doing a good job speaking about why he liked her and like what they saw in each other. So I don't know. It's like I kind of want them to work out just because it would blow everyone away based on the journey.
Right. Yeah. It's like if Shane wasn't, you know, like he has this thing where his like mouth is never closed and then his eyes are as if he's shocked. It just liar. He's shocked that he is alive and living. So it's like if he wasn't like he was, would we be more on board with this relationship?
I think I'm on board with the relationship. Like they seem, but like Mary said, by the end of the batch of this episode, their chemistry seems to have gotten on a solid ground. So I'm not necessarily against relationship. I just don't know how it's going to work.
Like, all right, I found him annoying, but I think that their relationship is healthy. I mean, I'm not going to put any bias with seeing the preview for the next episode because I don't know what happened there. But I mean, you know, he just seems like this. His only problem is like really like his insecurities. But yeah. I mean, I can see it working. You know, they just got to go over like a few things.
I loved how her dad was just like totally on board and trying to be like her biggest cheerleader while the mom, before Shane came in, when the mom was, you know, like, what is happening? Like, let's just be open. Let's have an open mind. I was like, what a great dad.
Yeah, he was nice. I was telling my parents while watching these episodes, I'm like, there's two types of like parents on these shows. It's either, oh no, what in the world are you doing? Are you stupid? Or, oh, we are all in, 100% in.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, you know, they go and meet his mom, which is very sweet. His mom is very sweet. And at this point, they were talking about, there's a point where he gets up to leave and in classic fashion is like, I gotta go take a dump or whatever he says. But and he leaves and she's like, look at my eyes, and he goes, yeah, I know I'm dead. And so I like the fact that over the course of like three episodes, we went from like, oh, the thing about her like staring at him weird went from like a weird communication flaw to like an inside joke between the two of them where they knew each other better. Look at the growth.
The growth. Yeah, it is so funny too, because it's like, isn't that what happens in a normal relationship? Like the thing that, you know, the more you like a person, the thing that's annoying kind of becomes enduring or endearing. I don't know how relationships work.
Sometimes it just stays annoying and you just learn to live with it.
Oh gosh. But it was cute. And then it seems like both of their moms kind of gravitate toward each other when they go dress shopping. Mm-hmm. And that kind of helps their relationship a little bit. So
what was the scenario, though? Why was that, like, was it them where the moms met each other?
Yeah. At the
hospital. What did they walk in and stand next to each other and had no, and then they said,
who this lady is.
Yeah. I'm so confused. How did they not meet outside?
I'm hoping that they did meet like beforehand.
Oh, no, it felt very genuine. Like, mom, this is Shane's mom. I'm like, oh, you're Shane's mom.
I don't know. I still don't understand how Natalie's like, I'm super close to my family. I mean, I haven't spoken to them in 3 weeks or told them anything about this experiment.
I disappeared off the face of the earth and it was fine.
But we're attached at the hip.
Listen, you know, I try to make sense of stuff like this, and then you remember these people are getting married to complete strangers after 3 weeks. I'm like, does anything make sense over here? No.
Yeah. Anything else from the dress shopping or suit shopping with them? It seemed like mostly they were kind of okay.
Yeah, I thought her dress that she ended up picking was really beautiful. It was simple, but it really fit her.
Yes.
I thought the dress shopping overall was weird. Because, like, everyone comes out to this just big, just group of people. It's like, it's not even like they separate everybody and was like, you know, you be with your family, you be with yours. Like, everybody was in the theater to see everybody's dress unveiling.
Hey, that costs money.
You'll see that a lot.
It is my favorite when they're like, here's my actual friends from real life. Let me talk to them. And the friends are always like, oh, I don't know. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then they have a last date together that ends pretty well. They joke about the Mexico thing again. They're like, everything was great except for that one conversation. But right. they have found their best friend and they love spending time together. So adorable. Yeah.
It's like if it works for them, it works for them. I found myself saying, like, does their relationship have enough depth? But then I was like, maybe that's all what they have is what they want and what they need. But I was like, I think that I would think in a different relationship, Natalie might want more depth. Mm-hmm. But I also don't know her, you know? So it's just like, maybe this is exactly what she wants. This is exactly the level. And maybe they're getting deeper, you know, off camera than that isn't as entertaining to watch. So right now, at the end of this batch of episodes, it seems okay. But we did see the next time on that was concerning.
And even, I mean, we can talk about it a little bit more, but at the bachelor and bachelorette parties, they kind of check in with all the couples individually and are like, so what do you think you're going to say at the wedding? And they're the only two who are like, yep, 100%. We're both going to definitely 100%. And so, yeah, despite the next time on, I'm cautiously optimistic with them. I feel like they may say yes.
I think they're going to get it. I hope if one small fight, or I don't know what was said, obviously, if one fight after all of that makes you guys not do it, Lord, I don't know what to tell you.
I think it might be a good candidate for they both say yes, they get married, and then by the time reunion rolls around,
Right. The timing of the argument, though, is what is scaring me, because it's the day before the wedding and she's saying that he said a lot of hurtful things to her. You know, is that is she underselling it? And it was like some very hurtful things that she never thought he was capable of saying. Or was it just like, oh, you know, just some words that stung a little bit? Because I mean, people love to say, like, sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. No words have power, and they can really do some damage, especially when, like we said earlier, their relationship has been a lot of telling over, like, you know, just apparent just actions that we've seen. So that's what kind of makes me concerned. So I don't know.
What if he was like, I told her I couldn't hit a baseball and she laughed at me. So
he was so mad. they're asking about Natalie's like, you know, I couldn't hit a freaking baseball. And they're like, oh, who, Natalie? Oh, yeah, I guess so. She's cool. Whatever. But can't believe I didn't hit those baseballs.
Yeah, that was funny. So I guess with official predictions leading into the finale. So, Mary, you say yes.
Yes.
What about you, Jason?
Yes.
Okay. Isaiah,
I'll give him 85%. Yeah, I'm say yes, but I don't know if it's gonna last.
True. Yeah, I think it could be a. She's thinking like, okay, like you said, why would I throw this all of this away? This whole past month away over one argument. So I think it could be a situation where they say yes, but then it may not work out if things persist or they discover things about each other that they're like, whoa, I had no idea. So I'm gonna say yes too.
Cool.
Nice. All right. Well, let's move on to another couple. We've got Shake and Deep D, who are, I was so ups and down on them over and over, still have been. another person who's, it's sometimes grown on me is Shake. Sad to say it. They have a bet about like wasabi and ginger. It's really not. It's not important. I don't know. They're whatever.
I don't eat sushi, so I legit Googled it because I was like, wait, who's right?
Yeah.
Do you clean your palate?
And just to get through some of these people, like, I think what's kind of most interesting about them is that it seems like both of their families, whether or not it's their parents or other people, have had experience with arranged marriages. And which is interesting because both of their families seem like kind of the most on board with this whole process. They're like, well, yeah, you know, like worked for us, like arranged marriages, you know, that checks out. And he talks a lot, like he says a lot of good things about like he wants to support her. He wants to make her happy. He wants to find out what things he needs to do to make her happy and to achieve that, even though I know that she's so selfish that she'll never like call me out. So he's really, it's nice that he says all that, but and I was surprised to see that he actually does like open up to his mom and bring up the whole like attraction issue that he's having, which again,
Yeah.
Guy, like, does he not see the woman in front of him? I don't understand.
But, I feel like he's stopping strangers in the street. Like, hey, let me tell you about my fiance who I just can't get a physical attraction to. Like, dude, you don't have to tell every single person your issue.
But I mean, he even sort of tells her about it at some point. Like, I get the feeling that he's very like, he wants this to work out, and he just wants someone to assure him that, like, maybe that attraction will come later, or that the marriage can be successful even if he never feels that way. And I don't think it's that he like thinks that she's ugly. I think it's that he just feels like he doesn't feel this like spark, which sadly I kind of relate to him in that, like, that's the hardest part for me when dating is, like, I'll go out and I'll be like, this person was nice, the conversation was good, but I wasn't really attracted to them. And so I kind of get that. But I also really liked what his mom said when she's like, yeah, I identify more with her, because like, that's like a, you know, it's a big fear. It's like that she could be perfect and doing everything she needs to do, but like, there's just this thing that she can't, you know, it's like out of her control, kind of.
I mean, the mom has met like Deep for probably a couple hours, and she's like, mm-hmm. listen, this lady is the best. She doesn't deserve a percent less than what she deserves. She does not deserve someone like you bringing her down like that.
Right. Yeah.
Like the vibe I'm getting is that Shake, I think he cares about Deep D. I don't think he's romantically invested, but it's giving me, instead of like wanting to be with her, it's almost giving like he has a fear of like not finding another person who's going to care about him on the same level or magnitude as Deep D does. So I think that's more of a, you know, what if I don't find someone else, you know, like, but that's just like Jarrett, which we'll get to. It doesn't feel like she would be his potential like first choice if it was up to him, you know? So I don't know how, like, I don't know. I think Shake honestly is kind of like taking the whole process a little bit for granted almost. And that feels like he's almost preferring to like, go back into like what isn't working for him just because this isn't comfortable ground for him. And I mean, you know, sometimes, you know, people don't want to be in certain situations. I can't blame them, but it's also like, why do you need to tell everybody and their mom literally like that you're not attracted to her? Like, you need to just be transparent and honest with her. And he hasn't really done that. He keeps like having these like emotionally like driven like conversation and stuff. And he's like, Do we call it leading on? I don't know, but it's like it.
Well, he was kind of honest with her, and like toward the end of the last appearance, he was like, you know, I don't necessarily feel like, you know, physically. She's like, you know, and she's telling Ayana on the boat, like, I'm not gonna, like, if he says no and we say no, like, that's it. Mm-hmm. I'm not chasing,
right?
Him. Like, that's just not gonna be happening.
I'm so glad she said that, because I have a feeling that some of these couples think that, like, if they say no, it's okay because it's just a no for now. But that doesn't mean that we have to, that has to be the end of us, kind of like a Gigi and Damien approach. But I am very concerned about him, because I did it first in the first batch of episodes. I thought he was love bombing her. And then now I'm like, okay, he still can't get over this instinctual attraction thing. But then it's like, okay, but would you rather have the instinctual attraction with someone and then not have anything else that Deep D has? And then one day this person, I mean, one day that spark is gone, and then you have nothing else to lean on. So,
I mean, looking at it from like what's really important for like the marriage, you know, it's like, I think about it, like you need a good friendship. You need some part of attraction, and then you need like loyalty and respect and the part that wants to keep you together. And those are kind of the three bubbles, and you need to kind of have a good balance of all three. And I do think that the attraction could come, like, that definitely happens with some people. I'm kind of surprised if it hasn't come within like 3-4 weeks at all. I don't know, but I also really appreciate, like, when she's dress shopping, her friends tell her, you know, maybe you just need to make the first move physically and see if the chemistry, if that'll spark something.
Right.
And then even Shane is going to tell him later, like, I was like sitting here being like, why am I agreeing with Shane?
Right.
Shane was like, he's like, look, your way is not working. Maybe you need to try my way. Yeah. Maybe you just need to loosen up, turn off the lights, put some music on and see what happens.
And I'm just like, where is the non-instinctual and physical attraction coming from? Because when you first saw her, you were talking about how hot she was, filling up on her. What are you talking about? It's giving cap. It's cap. Like, I don't know what you're talking about.
It is giving cap.
And I mentioned this last time, but I'm really worried that she's going to be there and support him through all of the career stuff he's trying to do. And then once he's established and settled and realizes that maybe he doesn't need that constant support, he's going to look for someone else who has that. Now, I hope that by the fact that they both talk a lot about how they really don't want to get divorced and they like want this to be a one and done thing, I hope that wouldn't happen. But
yeah,
that's like my fear with people in that position of I'm worried that he will say no, but let's keep dating, and that she'll agree with it, even though she has repeated she doesn't want to.
Well, it sounds like they both see in each other like that they can relate to one another, mm-hmm. which is mm-hmm. very good for them. But like Shake, you know, like someone like a Shayna is not going to give that to you. Like that's right. only something that someone like Deep can give to you, and that's what you say you want. So
right,
there yeah. it is. I will say I was pretty, I guess I didn't expect any less, but I was pretty blown away with him meeting her parents. Like he did really well.
Yes.
They really liked him. And the fact that she hadn't brought home anybody, like she was with someone for 6.5 years and never brought him home. How does that happen? I mean, I know that there are people out there, but how?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how that happens.
I just think this it's is wild. Maybe she has just like ridiculous, crazy standards. Because I mean, I don't for the person meet her parents. I would say maybe not for a relationship, but mm-hmm. you're still not good enough to meet my parents. I don't know where right. that comes from.
Yeah. So they had a great meeting, and I could tell her mom was so happy that it was him, and that he was the one. And then of course her parents' adorable relationship and her dad yes. remembering the exact time they got married.
Oh.
Goals. What time did you get married, Jason?
Huh? I don't know, 6:23. Y'all know me. I don't know if I'm telling the truth or not. My wife's not gonna listen to this.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, and it seems like by the end they try to have like a massage date to build some physical connection, but
yeah,
it's funny because the way it ends actually is her being like, he's so over analytical about everything and doesn't just feel. And I think that's his problem, is for whatever reason he can't just feel with her for something.
Yeah. Do y'all think that they had sex after the massage date?
I don't think so.
I think we would have found out if they did.
Yeah.
I just don't.
Yeah.
I think it's such a big plot point that we would have found out about it.
That's why I was like, maybe they're holding it off for the finale.
I mean, they were very like physical.
Tell us.
They were very, very physical when they came out the pods, and like I've noticed they're not as physical anymore. Like that's also another sure. thing. On cameras at least, so
because she was all over, like remember that when they were in that pool in the first mm-hmm. batch, she was all yeah. over him, but then it, yeah. there's his a face, point when you know
what she was
do
doing
that.
His face was like, I don't know what I'm doing right
oh
now.
Oh my god, it's
not what I'm looking for. This is great.
I was so worried watching those first 5 episodes. I'm like, oh my gosh, she's gonna watch this show, and no matter how it ends up, like gonna be so upset. But it really does seem like he's kind of like told her like the mm-hmm. the issues, yeah. at least a little bit. But, you know, they both express their concerns on the Bachelor and Bachelorette parties. But based on the preview for next drop, and maybe they're just trying to hide it, it seems like theirs looks like the most successful story yeah. in the next one.
Unless there's like very clever editing there. It right. feels like it's going to be a success.
The wedding is yeah. beautiful.
Yes. Yeah.
I can't see it being clouded with no's. You know?
I would hope not. I would hope not.
That's me being optimistic. But we cannot move on before we address the quote of the episode, and I really hope RHAP out of quote? Context is not listening.
I got a quote too, but I don't think Shake, it's the one you're going to put out there.
Shake wants to F you emotionally.
Okay, yeah, you have to put out there.
Before he's like, I want to F you emotionally before I F you. Before I find out you're good in bed, I want to find out you're good in head.
What the hell? Gave me the creep shivers.
Drops the mic.
I had to pause it and turn to my yeah. parents and be like, and they were like, why are you stopped watching? And I'm like, did you hear that? He just said he wanted to F her emotionally.
Sounds like the Riddler from Batman. Like, what is going on here? I don't like that.
He thought he was yeah. dropping bars.
Yeah. Oh, it wasn't given what needed to be gave.
No. And I think that's the problem, is like I hated Shake in the pods because he was so like line after line, Whereas the parts I like him the most are like when he's meeting the family or when he's mm-hmm. opening up to his mom. It's like when he actually seems to like stop putting on a show for the camera.
Yes.
He seems pretty genuine. But I can understand his concerns. Well, I can understand why a person would have those concerns. I don't know what he doesn't see in Deep Tea. That's like my big problem. But oh,
I think
well.
It's just too much in his head. I think that's the problem. Yeah. I mean, you can see something with your eyes, and if you're in your head that way, you're just not going to get it. It's not going to translate. Right.
It's turn just off like the light, put on some Boys to Men.
Boys to yeah. Men. Shane has taste.
Yeah.
That's what I said.
Because I'm like, there's no way you're not so into your head to think, oh my gosh, this person has everything I want. But is this my aunt?
Yeah. This is a case of self sabotage.
Yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. exactly. Yes. So.
All right. Anything else on them? How do you, I think it'll be a success all in all.
All right.
I wonder if they're going to stick together though after she sees all this footage, but
Gosh. Yeah.
For now.
So you think it's a yes, Isaiah?
For now. Yeah. Only because they looked like they were having a great time at that wedding. So
Isaiah doesn't believe in Love is Blind.
I really don't.
Is this a skeptic on the panel?
At least I don't believe in these people. Maybe a different group, but not these people.
This is what I'm thinking. I think that she's into him. There's no doubt about that. I think with him, like he said to Shane, okay, do I want to go another 20 years and not find somebody else like her? I think he would rather be with her than be alone, which is, I mean, it sounds terrible, but like he gets in his own way. And he just needs to be forced into it.
But it's not like he doesn't see her worth. Like, I think he very clearly does. I think he's mm-hmm. just, you know, he wants the fairy tale.
Yeah, he knows what he has. Yeah. He just needs to figure out if he can get to where he wants to get to physically with him.
Right.
True. Okay. What about you, Jason? Is your final prediction a yes?
Yep, I'm going to go with a yes. I can't believe that it's the one that, you know, Deepy has to, you know, convince Shake to marry her and not the other way around.
Right.
Like, bro, you're asking these ladies in the pot, like, do you work out? Like, what do you look like?
Right.
50 is too good for him, but yes, I will go yes on both counts.
Okay, perfect. So yeah, we are going to move forward. Anything else on Shake and DD? That's it?
I'm rooting for him.
Okay. Yeah. Me too. I think
somebody has to.
If they have any type of demise over this in the finale, it's because of him, not yes. because of her. And I would love to hear from Melissa Denny just how awesome Deep Dee is in real life, since she does know her personally. So we're gonna move forward to a couple that I'm excited to have some dialogue about, Ayana and Jared. So Jason, what do you think about Ayana and Jared?
I like them. What don't you like about them? I think they have good chemistry. Yes, she was technically his second choice.
Yes.
But I think once they met up, I think they vibe well. They've had like pretty much no hiccups almost.
Yeah.
I like them.
I don't think it's a matter of like, okay, I love Ayana. And I think Jared's a cool guy, right?
Oh, burn.
He's a cool guy. Mari Forth said that I was a little high on Jared last batch. I just thought he was being a great guy, right? But now after watching this batch of episodes, it doesn't even come down to, oh, she was the second choice. I feel like she's just the homie to him. What has he done that's taken the initiative to be romantic with her, to show her he cares about her besides getting her the Polaroid? That was nice. But then it's like, what are you doing to show her day in and day out, which you only have so long before you get married, right? What is he doing to initiate like, yes, I really do care about you, besides saying it? And then the fact that he is prioritizing going out, his friends talking about welcome back. You were gone 2 weeks. I literally go weeks without seeing some of my friends and we're not, oh, welcome back to the city. So that just shows like what his life was like before, which is fine. But it's like, yes, like she said multiple times, there need to be some adjustments made. But it's like, does he want to make those adjustments? Does he want to spend so much time with her, minutes throughout the day? It's just like the dynamic between him meeting Mallory and just having that attraction to her, you could tell just how he talked to her. He was attracted to her. But Ayana is just like, what's up? How you doing? It's fun. She's a great friend to him. But is he into her romantically?
I think it's also hard because, like, he's kind of one of those people who seems like all talk, no action sometimes. Mm-hmm. Like, he talks in the first scene we have in his apartment about how he wants kids, like, now. And he's like, I know you want to wait a little, which, to be fair, she's 27. Like, maybe she does want to wait a little. But he's not living a life that's conducive for him to have kids at this moment. You can't mm-hmm. have kids and be staying out till, I'm sorry, past 3 a.m. Right. Every bar that's near where I was, Ham closes it too. So, like, what bars is he staying out at past 3 a.m. on a weeknight? It's just a cooler city than I live in. But yeah, he's like, you know, he says that he wants kids. He says he's ready for marriage, but he's really not doing anything to show that.
Yeah.
And I think she's rightfully concerned about how their lives are going to mesh. Even when she's sitting there trying to talk about their wedding, he's like playing video games, like half listening.
Yeah. I'm like Shake's mom. You know, she doesn't deserve anybody who's going to have any percent like less than she deserves so much more. Okay. I just feel like he is not putting forth the effort. And I feel like I don't feel like he's settling because she's amazing. But in his eyes, I feel like he was settling because it was just like, oh, shoot. I wanted Mallory. I boohoo cried because I couldn't get her. Oh, me and Ayana get along great. Let me propose to her because we'll be able to get along.
So, pod stuff aside, because for most of these episodes, it was them outside of it. I do feel like they do have chemistry. I will say that. I think they're just two completely different people. I think Jared's very extroverted. Ayana's very introverted. I think Ayana is here on the show, ready mm-hmm. to be married, where I think Jared is ready to be in a relationship. I don't think he's ready for marriage. So I think if this was under regular context, that they were just dating, going through the boyfriend-girlfriend phase, do I think they could work out? I actually do think that they could work out. But honestly, this is not the situation there. They have to get married. You knew what you signed up for. And I think that's where they're on the wrong page. I think Jared's moving at this, like, this is like a regular relationship piece. Mm-hmm. Where I think Ayana is like, we're literally about to get married in like a couple of days or weeks. We're like, what are you doing? You know, so I think that's really where they're just at two different pace. And I think that that's kind of where the disconnect is.
That is very true. He is moving about this very slowly when, you know, are they saying they love each other?
I don't think so.
I don't know if we heard it. I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if they do say it. I would imagine I would imagine everybody would say to each other. I would hope if you're getting married in a day. But
true.
Like,
yeah.
I just don't see a lot of, I see what you guys are saying, but I just feel like you say he's moving slow, but he's been confident throughout the whole thing, like, yeah, I'm ready. This is cool. I'm at I think it's gonna go well. That's why.
Listen, I do still think that, like, I don't think Jared's a bad person necessarily or anything. And I actually think that this marriage could work out if they do it. I think he's literally just being unapologetically himself. He's like, I like to go out. I like to hang around and stuff. Ayana's like, I like to chill. I like to stay inside out. They're just completely two different types of people. But you know, sometimes opposite attract. I don't know. Like, I don't know if it's going to work out. It's a very weird situation.
He may not be all in yet, but you know who is? His dad. Love you. And also, let me perform your ceremony.
Oh, my. Like, oh, yes.
I just met your fiance who you just met 2 weeks ago. And y'all gonna get married in a week. Hey, welcome to the family. Let me perform your ceremony. It's all good.
Yeah, it's been years that people, time after time, couple after couple, has asked me to officiate their wedding. And I'm like, no, mm-hmm. no. I'm waiting for my firstborn. Let's
Can you imagine if he performs his firstborn son's ceremony and one of them say no?
Oh, yes.
How are you going to mess up my first time?
You know what?
We're going to do
the fact that his dad's there, I'm confident he's going to say yes.
He will. I don't know.
I don't know if she's going to do it.
I think that might add some pressure onto her to say yes.
Ooh, that's a,
because she doesn't want to let, she doesn't want to like break her father, her parents, his parents'
hearts. Oh, it really does seem like they take their parents' like tone, like, because he's kind of like, okay, my dad's confident, I'm confident, and then her adoptive parents are like a little more skeptical, I think. You know, but they the main thread with them is everybody keeps telling him like, you know, the single life is great, but you need to leave some of those things behind for married life. And he's like, yeah, I know. And she's like, he knows, but he hasn't done anything about it yet.
Right. Can we talk about her adoptive parents?
Are they
30?
Oh, those are parents? What?
Yeah. I literally tweeted. I was like, they're so young. Oh, my
Wife
God.
Don't crack, baby.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Yes.
They look amazing.
So young looking. And they said that, so she said she was adopted when she was, that she started living with them when she was 18 and they officially adopted her when she was 22. And she's only 27 now. So,
4 years. Yeah. Well, hey, don't you see right after Married at First Sight on Lifetime, adults adopting adults?
Mess.
Yeah. But, love them. I always come away from the parental family conversations, like really agreeing with whoever is like, okay, I've agreed to be on the show, but I'm definitely skeptical.
Right.
Like, it kind of annoys me when you have a family who's like, we're really close, I refuse to be on the show. It's like, well, come on. I mean, like, really, you know.
Yeah. They had a healthy dose of skepticism. Like, they showed they clearly care about her and they just want to make sure this guy is good. And so I love their approach.
How they pressed him. He was like, oh yeah, she's strong and resilient. They're like, that's all you got? Like,
literally, yes, give me something else. I was like, yes, okay, I can say, I could be interviewing a candidate and they're resilient. Like, give me something more about your soon to be wife. So I was so glad she pressed him on that.
Especially because that's the exact same thing he said when they met his parents. Mm-hmm. And if I were her, I'd be like, okay, do you have one thing you like about me? Like, you want to come up with another one?
Right. I mean, and it could be, and I've noticed this with a couple, like, I guess specifically like Deep D, like she has this marriage that she can, look up to. And with him, he can look up to his stepmom and his dad's relationship. They've been together for 25 years. Mm-hmm. And so he's just like, I want that, you know? Right. And it's just like, okay, but are you taking the actions to get that? Or are you just like, well, I'm about to be married. We could have that because we get along really well.
And he tells his friends that his biggest concern is like having to support her financially while she gets her master's. Like, so you know what the situation you're getting into is. And if you know that, then actually start saying like, okay, trial run. You know, I came back. I didn't see my friends.
Yeah.
I'm going to meet up with them for dinner and bring my fiance. Yes. And then we're not going to go out because we're going to, you know, like, I'm going to start trying out some things or at least like invite her. I don't know.
It's compromise because he's right. Perfectly fine with the fact that she said, oh, you want to go out? I don't want to go. And he's like, all right, cool. Well, I'm going out on a Tuesday. I was like, what?
Taco Tuesday.
Yeah, that was, you know, that had me dying.
But it's Taco Tuesday. I can't miss that.
I love when you said that. He's like, I mean, what? You don't go out until 4 a.m. every Tuesday for Taco Tuesday?
It's Taco Tuesday.
Oh, they're just compromise. Like, he needs to see the need to compromise. Right. And she can't force him because then that's just him doing what she wants to do. So yeah, that was all very concerning. I did think it was sweet that his sister went with her dress shopping.
Yes. Yeah.
That was very sweet.
So it seems like they've at least met. There's, you know, I can't believe it, but like more must happen between these couples than we see on the show.
So much that we don't see, like so much.
Listen, every time Nick and Danielle talk, they make me realize that there's a lot that we don't see on this show.
Yeah. And they have a conversation where they kind of like, I do like they're both very upfront and honest with each other. She's very like, here's my concerns. And where it ends, it is basically at their last date. She says, you know, I choose you. I know you still, I still need to see action from you, but I trust that you're going to show me it.
Right. And I'm like, hey, do you really trust it? Is he going to break that trust? Because I'm nervous because he knows what to say. It's not like he's trying to be a smooth talker or anything.
Right.
He's saying what is the appropriate thing to say, but it's like, does he mean it? And are his actions going to follow suit? Because he's like, oh, I'm an 8, and you know, she tells who was it later, Mallory, that she, or no, not Mallory. She tells Deep D that she's more like a 6 and 7 as far as like being ready. And so I don't know. I think she just wants him to be a little bit more real with her than, oh, everything's great, you know, and everything could be great, but it's not. So
yeah. I think with them, for him it is. I honestly think for him, it's
yeah.
fine.
Hmm.
Well, she has a lot of doubts. I think he's like, this is cool.
I think he's more laid back. Yeah.
Yeah. We're gonna get married tomorrow.
Because I think he would be perfectly happy for her to move into his apartment and then, you know, hang out with him while he's playing video games. Like, I don't know. I think that they are the perfect example of a couple who might stay together even if they don't say yes.
In my mind, I've always seen after the marriage in these shows, I'm like, all right, now you guys actually have a regular relationship. Like, you guys just like, it's a boyfriend-girlfriend phase. You're just married. All
right. Right.
So, you know, I don't even Married at First Sight, I've always felt that way. It's like, you just literally, you have the title, but it's like, you guys are actually going to date now, you know? Mm-hmm. So I don't know why anyone would want to go on the show, by the way, but but yeah, I don't know.
Some of us are more desperate than you, Isaac.
Aren't you the youngest person in the class of 2020?
This is the second time in this week that this has been mentioned on a podcast. That's sick. Sick.
I will say, I mean, I guess side note, I think Love is Blind is making a major push right now for Asian men. I personally know 3 Asian men that they have reached out to through DMs to say, wow, hey, I'm casting for Love is Blind. Let me know if you'd be interested, if you happen to be single. Like, what is the, you know, what are the odds?
Is this some scoop Asia? Are they coming to Texas next season?
Hey, that's a good point. City does matter. So I don't know, maybe. And maybe I need to start preparing my application.
Hey.
Yeah. So I don't know with them. I think if it's what Isaiah's saying and they decide to like get married to date, then I think that they could have some success. I'm not sure that she's going to take that step at the wedding, but I do see some confidence if she sits back and thinks like, I could see a future, maybe mm-hmm. it's not right this second, but I do feel like with some work, this could happen, then maybe something will work out with them. So I don't know. I think they're the first people I'm going to say, I don't think it's going to work out, but like I don't think they're going to say yes. Mm-hmm. Necessarily, but I do think it could work out later.
Yeah, he kind of concerned me, especially on that last date. He's like, yeah, I have some big things planned for us. It's like, do you really? Or are you just saying that to like just to add to excitement?
On this man.
Listen, y'all dragging Jared through the mud.
I don't believe
it. I've just dated people who like constantly talked about like kids and our family and marriage, and then like, but then wouldn't hang out with me on the weekend. And I'm like, well, then what is it? Like, do you want to like, you know, where are your priorities?
It's so true. Action speaks so much. Yeah, this isn't just coming out of thin air. This is coming from experience. Yeah.
Yes.
Actions speak louder than words. People can say whatever, but I also agree with you, Mary. I think that it's going to be a no at the wedding. I do think that he'll say yes, but she will say no.
Yeah.
What about you, Jason?
Honestly, I think it's a yes both ways. Huh. I think they're both going to say yes. I don't really have any doubt. I think for her and her personality, I think even if she wants to say no, I think she'll say yes. Like, cause she doesn't want to get up there and say no. I think she'll say yes just because of that. But I do think that she's happy and she's going to be happy. I think they're going to be fine. Yes, for me.
All right. What about you, Isaiah?
I'm with Jason. I think they're both going to say yes. And I feel like it's going to work out. I think, look, they're watching it back. They're probably like, oh, you said this. What to Mallory? What's going on here? But yeah. I feel like they'll get over it. It wasn't that big of a deal. It's not like he kept going to her like Shayna or something like that. You know, I think it's going to be fine personally. So
I think even Mallory aside, I think that they just won't work.
I'll even say this. I think they're our best couple we have on the show.
Okay, we asked at the beginning, who are you rooting for? And they're like, I don't know. And
then I didn't say I was rooting for them.
All in on Jarrett.
I can see Jarrett and Ayana working out. Mark, look, remember this moment right now.
Okay. Me and Isaiah, remember this. Remember me and Isaiah on this podcast in 3 months. We get the union special, and they're the only couple still together.
Now, if they don't, we're just gonna look dumb. But
if they don't, we just forget this happened.
If they don't, he played y'all.
Oh,
but yeah. So moving forward, we have another couple that. You know, it's not quite the love square that we thought we were going to get, which is good. But we have the wonderful, lovely Salvador and Mallory.
They were barely on the show for me.
They were.
And I think what's weird is I feel like there's so much we didn't see because my confidence in them as a couple somehow went down. Maybe just because we didn't see them. Like, we saw okay moments, but then at the end, at the like bachelorette parties, they seemed a little hesitant. And on their final date, even though like they had an argument, but we didn't really get to see much of it. I'm still kind of confused about that. Like the episodes start well, you know, they clear the air about everything with the ring. They meet his sisters, which seem nice. And they meet her sister. And I think that that's where things probably off camera start going downhill is it seems like her family is not very interested in being a part of this.
Yeah. You got that. Right. You got that feeling at the dress shopping where she's like, "I really wish that my sister and my mom could be here." I was like, "Well, why aren't they here? Did they not approve?"
Listen, other than Nick and Danielle, every one of these other couples have been so fake in front of these cameras. I'm so sorry because there's no transparency unless the producers eggs one of them on like Sal this time to bring it up on camera. And then the other one's like, why would you do that on camera? You know, like they don't want to look messy on television. So I feel like there's a lot of stuff going on that we are not seeing. And I'm super iffy. Like they have their happy moments and Sal can bring out his ukulele as many times as he wants. But I just don't know how this is going to work out.
Felt like I was trapped in Encanto for a minute. Like, you sing this so damn much. But like when they had the conversation about it's apparently Sal's crazy ex-girlfriend running in on his sister's house. Like, what is that? He goes into the room where Mallory is, and Mallory's like, oh, hey, what's up? She doesn't even seem mad. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
I feel like we had this whole big up blow up argument off camera. And now, like Isaiah said, we're faking it for the camera.
Yeah, let's talk about that. I was very confused about this situation and what was the true story about Sal's relationship with this woman, because she shows up to his sister's place all upset and Mallory didn't like that because she's like, well, why is there somebody that's upset? And I'm assuming upset at the fact that he's about to get married, because she's like, y'all had a relationship where she's able to just go to your sister. Like, she knows where they live. She knows them. He says, she was never my ex. We never were together. We were just kind of seeing each other. And so I'm like, I don't know. It just felt like a situation that the door wasn't completely closed. And Sal may have thought, oh, we weren't that serious. But for her, she's thinking, I might have a future with Sal.
Sal seems like a very nice guy, so I can easily see him seeing something like, if it makes sense later down the road, or like, we know we're not going to close the door all the way, but you know, I feel like he was probably letting someone down a little too gently, than he should have. And obviously, you know, I don't think, Mal is too good with that. So.
Mallory, take this as a good sign. Okay. This guy was so nice to this woman that she is now beating down his sister's door to get back with him. Right. Like, look at the positives.
No. I think the part we didn't see is him saying, something like, oh yeah, I probably need to go over there and comfort her, or like being too nice about the ex, or like his sisters being like, can you come talk? And then they get in an argument about whether or not he should go. And she's probably like, look, is this girl still going to be in our lives? And he's probably like, well, she's a good friend. Like, my guess is all of that is the part we didn't see of her not being comfortable with like him wanting to remain in the life of someone who's trying to break them up. It sounds like.
Oh, if he went over there and talked to her, that would be a no-no.
Right.
Oof.
I mean, we saw that with Jarrett. Well, he kept the watch holder from his ex.
Okay, like, that's Asia, different. We get it. You don't like Jarrett.
Listen, that was a stretch.
I'm with the men on this one.
Jarrett gets a straight bullet in the salad.
That was a segment. Stretch. I was like, is this really a segment? Like, really?
I am a big fan of the, like, clean slate breakup, like throw away all the letters, throw away all the picture, or, you know, like whatever. I'm okay with that. But like, if you have an item of value that's like,
why would you throw it away?
Like, I'm not throwing away my bread maker just because you gave it to me for Christmas. Like, that has
my
use.
Initials are on it, okay?
Yeah, it's not like her initials are on it. That would be different.
True. Yeah, I just don't, I'm like, okay. But yeah, I didn't want him to lie, but I just feel like it should have just been, oh, that's my watch holder.
Never good enough for you, Asia. Never good enough for you, Jarrett.
No, Jarrett was in the wrong here.
Asia is encouraging lying.
Yeah, Jarrett, Asia wants to lie to you folks.
Like, I have a humidifier, a gift from an ex. Do I have to throw that out to Asia? I'm scared now.
Like, no, I think like...
Yeah, you better go buy a new one.
Listen.
If you have like a heart-shaped necklace or like, oh, this is like their sweatshirt, get rid of that. But like...
You know, like a lock that you had that's inscribed from this person, like, hey, I love you forever. Yes, throw that out. But if you got some like inconspicuous gift that has your initials on it, keep it. Okay, folks out there, don't listen to Asia. You got Jared out here catching strays in the Mal and Sal segment.
Catching strays.
Oh, gosh.
But yeah, like you said, Mary, I feel like there was something we didn't see because her getting angry didn't make sense unless she's just looking for something to be mad about.
Right.
Because her just showing up, okay, Sal didn't go. He didn't go. Like, try to make her feel better. But yeah, it was just a little weird. So,
like, did they have big work schedules this week or something? Because we pretty much only saw Sal trying to like do nice things for her, and like very little
from her to him.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
From her about even her thoughts.
Right, because it's like. Our main pieces were like, okay, meeting each other's sisters and then him singing. So it's just like,
many times.
I'm sorry, he made stir fry.
He did. And I could tell it smelled good through the screen.
Now, are they buying this stuff with his own money or is this production money? Because like, okay. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, even how long did he date his ex again? Like, if you can even call her that?
He said it was, he found out about Love is Blind a year ago, but then in that time, you know, he was not going to take anything serious. And so it was in that time that they were involved. Okay. It's like, so he thought he closed the door. It's like when you walk through a door and it closes behind you, but you don't push it closed. And it just didn't latch all the way. And then she just
doesn't
came
give
and
me the vibes of a person that would be blunt about like a breakup at all, if I'm going to be honest. Like,
yeah, he tried to let it out easy. But
yeah.
Too easy.
Yeah, exactly.
He's like, no, Sal, I'm never going to find a man who's going to sing to me like this.
Or make me stir fry.
Right. What did y'all think about his sisters?
They seem nice. They seem fine. Accepting.
Yeah, nothing really extraordinary happened in these visits. It was just like, yeah, they're fine, except for her sister, like, you know, kind of poo-pooing the whole thing.
You put a camera in front of my face and I have to meet someone. I'm like, oh yeah, nice to meet you. Like, oh, I'm about to say. Right.
Yeah. Isaiah likes the mess, but isn't going to bring it on the reality show.
Right. No. I would be so mean to these people, please. All right, anyway.
Yeah, his sisters were, they, you know, were trying to get all up in the Jarrett situation by asking questions, of course. But they were nice. So you could tell they're close. They care about him. But her sister was just the ultimate. I feel like she was the big, besides Nick's mom, I feel like she was the biggest skeptic.
100%.
Yeah.
This was an awkward conversation.
I was on her side a little bit.
Yeah.
Because they were like, hey, can you give us your blessing? Like, your blessing? I just met you today.
Yeah.
And you
yeah.
just met her 3 weeks ago. Like, yeah. no, I don't know who you are. I can't give you my, like, it was a few of those instances, like, asking for blessing. And I feel like most of the families were like, yeah, for the cameras. But then yeah. I was like, no, I'm not giving you my blessing. I don't know this man.
Yeah. Right. It's hilarious that they always try to edit, like, the family member saying, no, this isn't a good idea, like, bad people. I'm like, I agree with them. Like, yeah. this is bad.
Yes.
But,
yes. And I think it, again, something we missed, because she says the thing about maybe not giving the blessing. And then he's like by himself, like, oh, I hope she'll come to the wedding. Like, oh, yes. oh was she not even going to come to the wedding? Okay.
Right. It was him putting his foot down, because I thought he was going to be like, oh, she doesn't give her blessing, it's going to be really hard to move forward. He said, no, if she doesn't give her blessing, we're getting married. So that's her decision. Yeah.
She needs to hop on board, because this train is leaving the station
right.
with or without her.
But yeah, we saw multiple moments of him singing with his, you know, with his roommates, and which I felt like that was solid. And then at the end, he's singing to her when she brings like the picnic stuff. And every time, and even with the stir fry, when he cooked her stir fry, that she cried. Are these tears like, oh my gosh, I have the best man in front of me? Or are they, oh my gosh, he's so sweet, but I'm just not into it?
I think the latter.
I just don't get genuine vibes from Mallory on camera. I really don't. I think she appreciates the gestures, and I think she is keeping an open mind to having this relationship. But even like, I mean, I know it was a while back, but even like the conversation with Jared, like I felt like that was like a lot of the true colors coming out. And I really just don't feel like she is in this. Like, I think she loves in, I do think she cares about Sal. I think she really appreciates everything he does for her. I think she genuinely does think that he's a sweet person. I just don't think that she's fully into him. I don't.
I wonder if they are deliberately not showing us many scenes with the two of them in order to be like, have us be blindsided when she says no. You know, like the season from the boring couple from last season. Right.
Oh, God. Kenny and whoever.
Yeah.
Something. Yeah.
I feel like that maybe is where we're going. It's like they want us to be like, look, he's cute.
Well, I think that might backfire on them, because if they say no, I'll be like, okay, I didn't really care. I wasn't that invested in Sal and Mal in the first place, because they didn't show a lot of them, and what they showed was a little boring, to be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean,
what do you guys think of Sal confronting Jared about the whole ring?
I didn't expect anything to happen after that. And I was like, okay.
Yeah, I was glad he approached it. I was glad he called it out, so it wasn't just like a, there's no chance that this could happen in another group setting, okay? Because I'm aware of what you said. I'm aware of what was going on. Don't try to be slick.
And if you do it again, I'll be very upset at you.
I'll make a breakup song.
Or a bad song about you, Jared.
I think at that point also, Jared was like, oh yeah, sorry, it's over though. I'm like all locked in on Ayana. Yeah,
that's why I felt like kind of like was one of the issues I had with his batch episodes. Like, there was a lot of promised drama, and then it just kind of fettered out. It was like, oh no, it's fine.
Yeah,
it ain't good.
Season one felt like there was full transparency. We got to see these people at their worst and at their best. It feels like they're trying to show us a lot of at their best and then the aftermath of after worst. If that makes any sense. Like, I feel like we're not seeing a lot of the stuff on screen of like what's really going on.
Right. We're not getting the fight. We're getting the conversation about the fight.
Yeah.
That's what they need to do. They need to go whole full maths on them. Okay. Because maths will put a GoPro in your house.
Yes.
To catch your arguments. Like, I feel like these people are like, okay, we're going to come here to film you on this day for 40 minutes. We're going to talk about some of this stuff. Maths will get all the nasty stuff because they are around 24/7.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's what we're missing, that in between. Because the retails, they're not honest. Mm-mm. So what do y'all think is going to happen with them? I mean,
yeah, I've done a 180. I think it's going to be a no from her. I think it's going to be a yes from him and a no from her.
No.
I could see no's on both sides. I don't know.
No, I think Sal's in it. I think Sal's in it. I think he's
the preview
yes
makes
sure.
It seem like it's going to be a no from Sal, but I think it's a bait switch.
It's the okie doke. Yeah. I think Mal's going to say no and Sal's going to say yes. That's what I think.
Yeah. No chance that this works out. And even if they do, it ain't gonna work out
long term.
And I would like to repeat that no matter what Mallory says, I'm here, Sal.
Cut to someone outside of Mary's window on a ukulele.
Shoot that shot.
You know what? And I mean, I love my favorite thing the whole episode with Sal was when he was like, "Oh, I don't want to mess up my hair," and then proceeds to just hit all the baseballs.
Knock it out. Right.
Yeah.
Mary's going to be south it. DMs, okay? Right.
I could drive to Chicago.
It's not that far. Oh, man. Yeah, I think it's going to be a yes, but I think that they're not going to make it to the reunion. Like, I think that Mallory's still going to be on cloud nine, just thinking, like, I have this most amazing man in front of me. I don't want to let him go. But then they're going to come to a realization that they can't start arguing over random things and have some better communication.
I mean, maybe it's just Mallory's like general face, but it just doesn't seem like she is very interested when she's with him.
Yeah.
She, I mean, they're just like Jerry and Nyan. They're just completely opposites. I think Mallory's more of like an alpha that like wants to find someone else is like an alpha, where he seems more, Sal seems more like submissive, which nothing wrong with that. I just don't think that that's what she's particularly looking for. And
I think it's mainly just not what she's used to. I think if she can grow accustomed to it, but if she can't get over that, especially by the reunion, she's going to be like, this is not working.
Yeah.
But last but not least,
we
have a couple that.
What do you mean by least, Asia? Asia, what are you trying to say when you say least?
Why do I have two pages on them and like a paragraph on everyone else?
When you say least, Asia, that mean you don't like her the most? Is that what you're trying to say? That's what I'm getting from what you're saying.
Right. And just don't give me an opportunity to talk. Oh, she's the worst. Okay, she's not the worst.
No, she is. She's the worst. She's the worst. She's the absolute worst.
She really is. They have the most amazing time, I thought, at her parents' house. I mean, shout out to Wendy. Wendy said, look, I'm here. I have my glass of wine. I am going to, like, I've never seen so many confessionals from a parent.
I need Wendy to go give Shake some advice. Yes.
Wendy said, you a mess, girl. Hope he can handle you. Right. You're an absolute train wreck mess.
Mm-mm. Wendy's like, look, I know you, I know me, you're just like me. So, and she's just taking digs at her every chance she got. She's just like, oh, she just walks away too easy these days. She just did not hold back, which is not something you normally see from a parent. What do you think about Wendy, Isaiah?
I thought Wendy was fun. I think that she forced herself into the show to be like a prominent character because I'm enjoying her and her her confessionals are very funny. I think she is seeing her daughter, and I think that she knows what type of, you know, energy her daughter can give off. So I think that she really wants to see this work because I think she sees that Nick is semi-patient with her. I just don't know if that's a realistic outcome, and I'm sure we're going to talk about that in a second, but I like her.
Yeah. So I thought Nick handled this meeting at the parents' house really well. I just felt like, you know, they got into the sex life and everything, and he still was a trooper.
Until he dared talk about some of his problems.
Yeah. Right. Or like, he was apparently on his phone as well, or something like that.
I think it was that. It was like, it felt like he mentioned it on the way back and she was like blew up about that.
Yeah, it seems to me like, and we do find out later, apparently for a while in the pods or whatever, she'd been talking about like how him meeting her family is like the biggest deal to her. And so like she seems like the kind of person where if it's her birthday and you dare to talk about literally anything other than her, she's gonna be like, what, on my birthday? It's, don't you know it's the biggest day about me? Because
that whole week is not her birthday.
Right. It's like, it seems like on the drive home, maybe he was venting about something And she was like, really? Like, and she doesn't, it sounds like she didn't even bring it up then. She brought it up like days later. Like, I don't, and it's not like, oh, you know, I was a little hurt that you didn't want to talk about my family after we met them. It's like, I feel like you didn't even like me at all because of how you dared to talk about anything else outside of the one thing we had. And when he says like the world doesn't revolve around her, like, yes,
it that doesn't. Is,
yes. And she dares to call him narcissistic because he wants to have a thought in his head outside of her. Like, oh, oh. And I mean, don't get me wrong. Nick is no like Prince Charming. Like I, you know, I thought he was, but there are a lot of things about him that are bugging me too. But no. Yeah, it's frustrating. So they argue about this all of my comments on them are all caps and it's a lot of girl, what are you talking about? A lot of
that. I just found it so funny that she tried to like whisper to him while being fully mic'd, camera in their face when they were outside on that walk to say like, I feel like you don't care about me. She's just like, girl, we see that. But why are you acting like this?
See, this couple is the entertainment of the show because they are very transparent. I think Danielle, very insecure. Unfortunately, and she projects her insecurities very quickly. I saw that at the resort, seeing this outside the house. She's very insecure. Nick, first of all, like I said, annoying because he instigates other people's problems and talks trash about other people's relationship. You can't even manage your own, so get out of here. I don't think he knows how to handle things correctly in these things. I think he says small things that makes these situations 10 times worse.
Yeah, he walks right into the trap every time. Yeah. And it's like, dude, you know you shouldn't have said that because that's because it's going to cascade into a whole host of other problems.
They both act like children.
Yeah, like the fact that she thought that there was no way on earth anything else in the world could have happened on the day that he met her family. It's like, girl, you got to be kidding me. And like she and the fact that she didn't even have the decency to even hold that thought back. Like, OK, maybe that's just an immature feeling, but maybe I shouldn't express that to him. No, she tells him.
Well, she said it like you had things going on the day you met my parents, as if like he could control the issues that he had with his family. They weren't going to pop up. Like you dared to have issues with your family on the day you met my parents. Like anybody out there watching Big Brother, like a rock star with their daughter's birthday.
Yeah.
It was or like I don't know. They make up, and I kind of see what they're saying, but like. Their big problem is that all they do is fight and then talk about how they need to work on their communication issues. But they don't. They never work on them.
Like, yeah, and they're one of the people that we get them in the middle of an argument and they're like, make up like slightly. And then they cut off the conversation. We don't see an end of the conversation. We don't see anything. It's just over. The next time we see them, they're fine until they get into the next fight in that segment.
I couldn't get over how she was standing at the door. He was all the way in the kitchen. So we had them like talking across the apartment from each other. I was like, can you come forward so we can get y'all on the same shot? Because I just feel like y'all are not going to reconcile being 20 feet away from each other. But
yeah, they're so frustrating. I mean, it's like the same fight over and over and over, over and over and over. The other subplot with them is like, so she's a bit younger. I think he said he's like 36 and she's 28 or something. Mm-hmm. And I kind of see bits of both of their sides because I feel like she's like, here's all my toys and I'm messy. And, you know, my friends dance on the table and he's like, here's my very extremely neat house. And they're both kind of like, oh yeah, well, hopefully the other person will change for me when we get married and not like, I think they both need to compromise and meet in the middle on this one, because I think it's perfectly fine if she wants to have some fun in her life. But also, like, you can't just expect him to want to, like, have people dance on his tables. Like, maybe that's where you need to draw the line.
Yeah, not only dance on the table, but break things.
Yes.
Like, oh, we like to have fun, so of course we're going to break things. What? Why? That was the most childish thing because it was about to turn into an argument, like a legit argument, because he's like, okay, so if you have friends over to my place, and she's just like, okay, what's going to happen if we do break something? Why are you doing something that could break somebody else's property? Like, it's just, it was so childish to even just be discussing. I was so annoyed at her for just saying that.
Like, you said it like it was a certainty. No.
Yeah.
Like, my friend's going to come over and they're going to break your stuff. Just be okay with it.
Right. And, I think the compromise is easy here. You keep the, you know, rock band, and you get rid of the blow up instruments that you don't need. Like, those are just taking up space, or at least deflate them. And like,
if I look to my right a little bit in my basement, I can see a disemboweled rock band drum set. Right. So I wasn't that mad at it. I haven't played it in like 6 years, but it seems so like she's played it like in the last week, which I didn't even know that you could still play a rock band like game. Right. I thought it would blow up the console. It was so old. But like, I'm not mad at her about that as much.
Right. Yeah. I love Rock Band. I used to, like, if I play with my family, I'm on the drums. Y'all take care of everything else. But that was also 10 years ago.
As a person with a lot of stuff, I do identify with the fear of like, oh no, what are they going to think about all my stuff? But then I'd just be like, okay, so maybe we need to get a bigger apartment and with some extra closet space. Like the end. It'll be okay.
You keep your Rock Band set up. Maybe throw away the Dawson Creek DVDs.
Yeah. Her issue wasn't even the DVDs. It was like, oh my gosh, I don't know if I could date someone who like alphabetizes their DVDs.
And then he opens his closet and there's like a whole stack of these DVDs. Now, if I look to my left, I will see three boxes of DVDs I need to somehow get rid of.
But right.
I don't have them prominently displayed in my house anymore. That was like a 2009 type of thing. Like you had a bookcase of all your DVDs.
Stop outing me, Jason. I have so many DVDs. They're not alphabetized, but they are organized by theme.
Yeah, at least don't make your own toothpaste and mouthwash, Mary. No.
I don't know. She was bugging me.
Yeah, they definitely have different living styles and have no idea how they would start to, I guess, merge their lives. So that's a little concerning.
Can I ask a quick question? Does it really have anything to do with those two? Mm-hmm. Chicagoans, what's the deal with the bead game in Chicago? Why does every man have bead bracelets on?
I thought maybe they made them in the pods because it makes no sense like that every bracelets. Man. Yeah, every man has them.
Are they like mics? Because like in some of these shows, they like have necklaces, but I don't know why it would be on your wrist.
Yeah, I had that thought. But none of the women had them, so I was like, I guess not. Like, I wasn't sure because I do know on some of the other shows they have like those beaded necklaces that are mics.
Yeah,
but I don't think it was that. I just think they like maybe like Asia said they made them in the pods. And, like, that's how they show each other. They're like they're down with each other. Like I wear my bracelet. How about you?
And you know. Like all of this, these are real people. Like I feel bad for hating on this couple so much. I was rooting for them in the first couple episodes.
Yeah,
but I think for me, it's like it's just frustrating to watch people have the same conversation over and over and seem to not ever grow from it. Like, you know, I mean, they go to the cake tasting where their communication sucks because she always misinterprets what he says. Like at least from how we're editing it, she'll say, you know, my biggest fear is that you, won't appreciate or like won't get flaws. And then he'll say, oh, well, you know, I just think that like that's something that we need to work on and stuff. And she'll be like, wow, I can't even believe that you would say that that's something we need to work on. It's like, you don't even like me. And he's like, not what I said.
Right. She's like, if I say you need to work on it, you're insinuating there's a problem. He's like, you just said it was a problem.
I know.
No, it's like Maddie on a Euphoria. I was going to say no, but why did you say no?
And she's like, I have concerns, you know, that worry me. And she's like, it worries me that you even say you have concerns. It's like, well, why don't you guys discuss the concerns and work on them?
Danielle need to be mashed with a therapist, not a husband.
That's what gets me. Like, that's what she needs right before doing this whole experiment, because I am not doubting her being insecure by any means, but this woman says in every confessional, I'm insecure, so X, Y, and Z. And I was just like, most people or people in general who say that they're insecure, it's not something that they're boasting about proudly to excuse certain actions. So it's just like she's trying to make it like a personality trait at this point. And then you're having these meaningless arguments with your fiance. And so it just starts to just be like, it's too much.
Yeah. It's a lot for me. They have the same conversation at the cake testing and the wine bar.
Yep.
And he ends the conversation by saying, I need you to know and like, listen to me, listen to my actual words that I love you even at your worst. And you need to believe that. But then the next time we see them when they're in the pool, which is the last time we see them before the wedding, it's like the moment where I most believe that he's actually tentative, because like he's not smiling. She's joking around, but he's not really smiling. And I feel like she seemed okay. Like she didn't bring up anything, but he was just kind of like stone faced, maybe editing. But the next time we see them, and I almost thought we were going to get the whole thing, but we didn't.
Same.
Yep, is their wedding. And I was like, okay, maybe there's just a lot of couples and we need to save for time. But nah, this show gotta leave us with a cliffhanger.
Yeah.
It sounds like they had a conversation before the wedding where he said, basically, I think we should say no. And that, but like then probably still date or something. Cause it doesn't seem like she's like a concerned that they won't be together.
Be together. Yeah.
And at the bachelorette party, she says like, my biggest fear is that I'll want to say yes. And then that'll be the worst part, is that like, we'll get married and then break up because we rushed into it. And I don't know. I almost get the feeling that maybe he was saying like, you should say no, but if you say yes, I'll say yes. But like, we should both say no.
Yeah.
Even
at the wedding, she's like, I if he says no, I won't even blame him. Like, I feel like that's right. Like part of her like insecurities coming in, like she's saying that type of stuff.
Right. Yeah. I was just
in the bachelorette party, or the bachelor party and the wedding scene, those are like the only two times we really see him being like, actually, maybe I'll say no. It seems like he was pretty much on the yes train the whole time. But yeah, we get them, their wedding. This is the sweatiest I've ever seen a person.
Ever.
He's like, he has a napkin or a towel, and then he eventually puts that away, and he's just using his hand, like scraping sweat off his face. It's so gross.
It's not even that hot in Chicago, right?
Listen, if you know you're like this, don't have an outdoor wedding. What are you doing?
Listen, because look, the way I paused it so many times, I'm like, oh my gosh, it must have been hot out there. And I looked at everyone, I'm like, wait, they're not sweating. What is going on? Yeah, that had me crazy. That was crazy.
Yeah. So I mean, with her saying yes and then him not reacting, I don't know if it's editing, but him not smiling, him not looking her in the eyes.
Here's the problem.
He says yes.
Here's the problem. They want you to think that he is going to say yes. I have no doubt about it after seeing the end of this episode, because they are trying to sell so hard that he says no. I think he's got to say yes, just from the editing itself.
Why would he have a conversation with her this morning? Why would he have that conversation?
I think I've this whole season, I've been saying, I think they're going to say yes. I'm going to be with Jason again. I still think he's going to say yes. But last season, they did the same thing, and I still thought they were going to say yes, and they didn't. So I'm like, maybe he isn't going to say yes. Right. I really feel like he is, though. Like, I don't see him or her throwing this away. Like, it just, is it toxic? Sort of. But is it working? Yeah, it sort of is. So I feel like it's going to work out, but I wouldn't be shocked if they said no, because like, they did the same cliffhanger last year and it was a no and I was shocked. So, yeah.
Look, they want you to think that he says no. Or no, they want you to think that they want you to think that he says no.
Yeah.
And so he says yes.
I think it's like you said, like he said, he texted her or talked to her, whatever, and said, I think we should both say no. But I think if she says yes, he's going to say yes.
Yeah, I think he's I think he's going to say yes. But I think that the reunion, they will either say, yeah, we're working through some things, or they won't be together.
Yeah,
I think it was kind of like me in the situation, like if I was up there and my like bride said yes, I feel like I would be like obligated to say yes. I don't want to be that guy that says no, and everybody looking at me cross-eyed. Like, can you imagine if you're going into this, into the wedding, like you're on Love is Blind, and they're like, okay, so you are going to respond first. Like, the production looks at you, like, you're going to respond first, you're going to give the answer first. I'm like, oh no.
Oh, I'm worried. I mean, I'm going to be the second one.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Man.
Like, we know. We know 100% Deep D's going first.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I will also be like, I feel bad for the families who probably took off work and all this stuff.
Yes.
And then if someone says no, it's like, well, I wasted my day. Thanks. Like,
yeah. Oh, I feel bad like for all of Jared's friends. They took off Taco Tuesday.
They had to go to his wedding, or they were hungover from the night before.
Right. Right. So anything else from them? I think we kind of, we're getting, I guess, Your prediction, Jason, is yes.
My prediction is Isaiah's yes.
I'm a yes, but I don't think it's going to last.
I'm the most 50 neutral. Like, I'm both yes and no. How about that?
Look at you. On the fence.
Now, we kind of talked about everything from the Bachelor and Bachelorette parties. I mean, Shane is upset. I can't tell if Shane's ever joking or if he's like...
No, I think he was really upset that he could... But it was like, so freaking Sal even hits a freaking baseball.
It was so funny because I feel like the producers were like, so how do you feel? Meaning, how do you feel about your wedding? And Natalie, and he's like, I mean, I'm pissed. Like, I played in college and I can't even hit a ball.
Yeah. He's like, oh, Natalie?
Dress pants.
It's like, oh, Natalie, yeah, she's fine. But I mean, she did not hit those baseballs.
And he's like, but with Natalie, 100%, 100%.
Priorities.
Yeah, it's funny. There's not a whole lot from these. Mostly I was like, the girl bachelorette party on the boat looked fun. I mean, I don't know. Do you guys like the, like hitting baseballs? Or I mean, I guess that seems fine. Like, it seems
on Wrigley Field.
Very bro-y bachelor party.
Yeah,
I like that they got hot dogs. That part seemed fun.
Yeah.
I'm not a baseball fan, but it looked cool, I guess.
Yeah. This whole batch, like we keep saying there's a lot on the cutting room floor, but it felt like they could barely fill any content. Like, one of these episodes was 49 minutes.
Yeah.
Another was 57. Like, damn, could y'all give us a little more?
Right.
Everybody's fighting off screen, Jason. We can't get any content. They're not giving it to them.
Right.
Yeah. I feel like people are gaming the system. Like, they made
they're being sleazy.
Yeah. They saw the first season. Like, we're not going to be like that. We're going to keep all our stuff on camera.
Exactly.
I think the budget has clearly increased, though. Like, the Bachelor and Bachelorette parties in season one were like, we're just at a restaurant.
The weddings were in a conference room the first season.
Yeah, right.
Not like get over that. Big extravagances.
Right. DT and Shake's wedding.
Yeah. Nick and Danielle should have opted for the conference room wedding, though, if he's going to be sweating that much. But yeah. It's fine.
Because he's about to say no, y'all.
Yeah.
Please.
So that's it for these batch of episodes. All we have left is the finale next week, and then hopefully we're getting a reunion.
Hopefully reunion. We did.
I'm
last
wondering
year.
With you know COVID if not. But
now
we'll
the one thing we didn't do is unless we covered it and I forgot. Jason, did you say you had a quote that you really liked from this episode?
Oh no, I was going to use the quote that Asia used for Shake.
Yes.
Oh, it was so bad.
I was
entertained. They flew by, but I was also watching them on 1.5 speed. And my dad was like, man, that guy can talk fast. Like, no.
Any other thoughts, Jason and Isaiah?
No, we'll see.
Okay. I think this is going to be, you know, the last episode of these shows are always going to be one of the most entertaining, most cringe inducing.
Yes.
You've got someone up there that could possibly say no. Like, I remember the first season when that happened. I didn't even know that it could happen. And I was like, oh my God. Did he just say, she was like, no? Like, I was shocked, like jaw on the floor. Like I didn't know that was a thing.
With Kenny and the other one, when they were like saying no, that was shocking. When Jessica like laughed her way out of the room, was like, no, nice try, Mark.
Right. Are we gonna runaway bride? I feel like they tried to sell us on there's gonna be another runaway bride this season.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, they tried to sell that with Diana at first, but
no,
even for the wedding.
No, yeah. I don't believe it. In the coming attractions, we know there's going to be a fight with Shane and Natalie. So exciting about that. Sal appears to have some concerns out of nowhere.
Yeah, and then, Mallory's scared.
Yeah, nothing from Deep D and Shake except that they're really awesome looking weddings. So I'm assuming that one's a good to go.
Hopefully. Watch that one be the mess no one ever expected.
Oh, that would be the biggest blindside.
Crazy. Yeah.
Biggest blindside.
Oh my gosh, what if Shake goes first? He says yes and Deep D says no. I'd be screaming in my house like, oh, get
it. I would be like, get it, girl. You know your worth.
Don't sit over this
bowl. Yes, sis. Dead. Well, thank you so much, Jason and Isaiah, for joining us. We had a great time.
You had to come over here and see what you were doing over here on the other side.
Jason, where can people find you?
I'm on Twitter at JAYR1085. Come check me out and I'll be letting everybody know all the things I'm doing.
Nice. Isaiah, where can people find you?
Find me on all socials at 8BallBangers, literally with the number 8 and then BallBangers. You can hear me on the Nothing But Netflix pod with Chappelle and Rob. We talked about the Genius Kanye documentary. That was cool. And you can also find me at Silent Podcast. We talk about like animations, reality TV, scripted TV, all that fun stuff. So, yeah.
Nice. And my awesome co-host, Mary, where can people find you?
Thank you. Yeah, you can find me everywhere at Frail Mary, and I'm covering, you know, all the Celebrity Big Brother stuff right now. So check that out. Thank you again, Isaiah and Jason, so much for coming on, and Asia for taking over the hosting gig while I'm recovering.
Thank you so much. I was watching your Instagram stories, and I just was like, oh my gosh, how I can barely run 2 miles without just being my body flopping over. So yeah, everybody, you can follow me on Twitter at Asia Like Asia, A-Y-S-H-A Like A-S-I-A. You can catch me podcasting about Married at First Sight weekly with Jason. That is on this very feed where you found this podcast, the Love at First Sight feed. And yeah, well, anything else that I'll be up to, you can follow me on Twitter and I will be tweeting about it there. But yeah, thank you all for listening and sticking with us throughout this. And we will see y'all next week. Bye.